This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Stan Gordon on the Paracast. For the first four segments of the show, we're covering, once again, the Kecksburg UFO incident, December 9th, 1965, when I was very, very young and foolish. Now I'm old and foolish or old and idiotic, depending on your point of view. So there you go. This may be one of those things like Roswell where we never get an answer. Is that possible?
We may never have the answer. Like I said, there is so much. We could talk for days about this case, and there are so many little details that people really are not aware of. Just it's a great interest case. It's a great mystery, and it's something that so many witnesses wish they had closure on. I mean, unfortunately, many key witnesses have passed away. The last Kecksburg fireman who was actively involved in some of the activities involved that night passed away last year, Robert Bittner. But there are still many, many people out in that area who were children or teenagers at the time who are still living. What you have to be aware of is, while a number of people have gone public on this case, the high percentage of people I've interviewed for various reasons still have never gone public. Because, again, a lot of those people, when they grew up, they turn out to be police officers and educators and lawyers and very respectable people. And many of those people, even today, they still just don't want to get caught up in the controversy or ridicule. What was so fascinating is that after so many years, so many different people who didn't know each other were giving me those little details that they wouldn't have known unless they were on the scene. And many of them confirmed other people's accounts.
Now, of course, when you look at people who confirm other people's reports, do you consider the possibility that they've been reading up on the case and maybe they've altered their testimony to fit with what they read, or it's influenced them somehow?
Well, first of all, a lot of these witnesses were found back in the 80s, 90s, long before a lot of the details were published. There was a lot of detail, and there's still some details I haven't published, so people can confirm the information.
Can you tell us now anything that has not been published about this case that maybe our listeners would like to know about?
Okay, well, there's still a number of things that I'm still holding on to because I'm hoping to still get confirmation on it. One thing I have found in more recent years that we didn't know until I began to periodically get a witness from different areas and they would bring this up. But after a number of years now, we've got a number of people stretched, trying to remember, outside of Ohio into not too far from Kecksburg, where people told me that they saw one, if not military jets, that were pursuing this object. And that's something I don't have a lot of people on, but there's a number of independent people who have been along this certain path that have described this in detail.
All right. Anything else you can tell us that maybe we didn't know?
Well, again, there's some things I'm working on, but I'm really hopeful still that maybe now coming up in the 49th and 50th year as we get into the festival now and we're talking to lots of people, and I'm hopeful that there's some other people out there that have information out there, and hopefully they'll come and share it, because certain details out there, certain information that might be out there somewhere might help to close the case. You'll be one of the first to know if we have a big breakthrough.
Anyone out there who's listening from Pennsylvania who might have some information, insights into Kecksburg case, where can they contact Stan Gordon?
Well, they can always reach you through my website, which is stangordon.info, I-N-F-O. The email is paufo@comcast.net. And, of course, my phone that I've had open since for the public, people have been calling me at my home number since 1969, is area code 724-838-7768.
That's the number we call them at.
Correct.
Okay, so this is a number available to anybody. So we know that there aren't going to be any telemarketing calls. But if you have something legitimate to talk about with Stan Gordon, we invite you to call him up and tell him what you've got, and he'll follow up. Now, the Kecksburg case, like a few of the other classic cases in the UFO field, seem to stand by themselves. It's not that they happen everywhere, but in all the years you've covered the subject since you were 10 years old, is there anything remotely like the Kecksburg UFO that looks like it, that had a similar outcome? What?
Well, I started to go out in the field to investigate all kind of phenomena. After Keksberg, I began to do field investigations. So I've been out in the field since the end of 1965 doing investigations, of which multitudes into thousands of cases. There's no doubt. And reports come in here almost every day on either current or past reports. So the two main areas, even though I get calls on all kind of phenomena, my two main areas are investigating UFO cases and cryptozoology. So I've interviewed hundreds of Bigfoot witnesses. I've interviewed many people who've seen all kinds of strange entities and creatures here in Pennsylvania, from reports of giant birds, such as thunderbirds, including a one we just had this past Monday, a reporter came in, Bigfoot sightings, thunderbirds, Black Panther sightings, a whole array of other strange entities people report. And so I'm very, very busy. And there have been multitudes of just really detailed the UFO cases that I've looked into. And, you know, first of all, as I mentioned to you, Gene, many times before, one thing I found years ago when I started doing investigations out in the field, and it's the same today, the reports come in, and many of them initially sound strange or unusual. But when you follow up on the reports and you investigate them, the high percentage of times, I'm able to determine these things are natural or man-made in origin. There's many types of misidentifications, which we all know. And, of course, now we're dealing with a lot of Chinese lantern reports, and now we're dealing with remote control LED helicopters and aircraft, and we'll be dealing with little drones. So a lot of things that people are going to report turn out to be misidentifications. But then again, year after year, reports are coming in of very detailed incidents, both with UFOs and cryptids that you cannot easily dismiss. The Keksberg case is one of these cases where you have multiple witnesses. They saw something. What it was is still yet to be determined. So it's still an open case.
But it's still unique in the sense of the type of object
because,
and everything.
You know, what was so important out there that the military responded the way they did? The military just does not come out with armed personnel and equipment. For example, just to look for a meteorite. There was something out there that they wanted to get their hands on that they responded so quickly. And there were so many witnesses, including reporters, that saw them there. So there's no doubt whatsoever that they were there.
Yes, but again, the fact that they reacted so quickly, either they were tracking it or maybe it was some sort of test aircraft.
Okay, well, I can tell you, officially, they were never tracking it. But over the years, I had a number of different sources who told me that they have no doubt that this thing was being tracked over quite a long distance, that they probably had a pretty good idea of what general area it might be coming down. So they had the teams already activated and started to move in the general area. The interesting thing is, I think I mentioned it earlier, you know, the military could have been riding around that area for days. They never would have been able to see where it came down unless somebody took them down to the ravine.
You said they were riding around there for days. Is this ahead of the sighting?
No, I said they could have been riding around there for days and not been able to see it because this thing was down in the middle of this ravine and you could not see it from any of the roadways around the area.
All right, Keksberg. You mentioned quickly a recent Thunderbird sighting. Let's move from UFOs to Thunderbirds. Before we ask you about the latest case, let's go back to give our listeners a sense of what Thunderbirds are.
Okay, well, Thunderbird reports go back in Pennsylvania to, I believe, about the late 1800s. There was a history of reports up in the Black Forest region of Pennsylvania, but other reports from around the state as well. And these reports generally are of a very generally large dark brown or black bird, which has a usually wide wingspan. And estimates would be anywhere from 10 to 20 feet in width. But some of the reports, and while we compile them under Thunderbird reports or giant bird reports, there's similarities but differences. Some of the reports we have, people describe seeing something that looks more like a giant leathery bat, a huge leathery bat. In other cases, people reluctantly, and they're reluctant to report all these sightings anyhow, but some of them have said what they saw, they were certain was something prehistoric, like a pterodactyl or a pterothorn, a prehistoric bird. And then there have been some odd reports of something that some people have told investigators that looks something more like a gargoyle. So there's some very, very weird reports out there. And again, you know, some of these cases, it's just like with UFO cases. It's very difficult to judge the size of the object and distance when it's in the sky. But in both UFO and Thunderbird reports, we have some instances where they were very close to the witness, very close, you know, in distance and height off the ground. So they were in a situation where they got to get a pretty good idea of size and dimension.
Let's break here. We'll be back with more discussions about Thunderbirds and more other strange creatures in Pennsylvania. With Stan Gordon, with Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast, Stan Gordon, Pennsylvania-based UFO paranormal researcher, discussing Thunderbirds. Now, looking at these creatures, any possibility it's some sort of creature that survived all these centuries for thousands, millions of years that maybe just keeps itself away from the populace for the most part?
Well, again, there's theories on this, and you wonder where, again, as with so many of these strange creature reports, and I'm sure we'll get into some very weird things before we're done talking today, you have to ask the question, where do they come from and where do they go? And this is something that shows up in so many of these cases, not just the Thunderbirds, but the Bigfoot reports, the Black Panthers, and all these other weird creatures that people report. And many of these are very, very credible people who want no publicity. Many of them, they're life-changing events for the witnesses. And so, again, we just really don't know. We don't have the answers to so many of the mysteries we deal with. One case that really I found intriguing was a case that actually occurred in nearby West Virginia back in the fall of 2007. And I think this was good because I interviewed the witness a number of times. He drew me a nice sketch of what he saw. And this was, again, the fall of 2007 in daylight, about 8 o'clock in the morning. And he's traveling down a two-lane road in West Virginia. And he has to hit his brakes really hard to avoid hitting this huge bird that's only a few yards in front of him. And it has a dead animal in its mouth. He's eating roadkill. And he said that this huge bird looked as startled to see him as he was to look at it. But he said it was this gigantic. He said it stood at least 4 feet tall because its head extended above the roof line of his vehicle. And he got a really good look at this thing. He said it was covered with dark brown or black feathers. The neck, it was kind of long and crooked, and the beak was dark, and the eyes were dark in color, and the legs were covered with feathers. And he said what was most startling was this just gigantic, monstrous wingspan. And he said this thing was trying to get off the ground, and it would be hopping from one leg to the other, flapping its wings in this really awkward manner, trying to get off the ground. And he said what he's watching was, he's watching the wingtips of this thing, and they're right at the edge of both sides of the road. And when it's flapping its wings, it's taking dust and dirt up into the air. And this thing finally takes off over the trees. Well, he was so amazed by what he saw, he came back the next day and measured the width of the roadway from end to end where he saw the wingtips. It was 21 feet across.
Ooh, big bird.
Big bird. And actually, he spent some time going to the library looking for all kind of bird information. And he said the closest thing he could find was a territorian, which, of course, is an extinct bird. He said that was the closest thing to what he could find. So that's very interesting. This sighting we had this past Monday, this was up in Indiana County. And what's interesting about Indiana County is this. Indiana County is one of the three counties of southwest Pennsylvania that borders along the Chestnut Ridge. The Chestnut Ridge is a mountain range that stretches from Preston County, West Virginia, into Westmoreland, Fayette, Indiana County. It is probably one of the hottest areas in the country year after year for phenomena, from Bigfoot sightings to UFO reports to Thunderbird sightings, other strange creatures, Black Panther sightings, mountain lion, weird phenomena. This all kind of strange stuff has historically been seen all along that ridge. Westmoreland, Fayette, and Indiana County are very active year after year with all kind of reports. And one thing that I found many years ago when I was investigating Bigfoot sightings is that a lot of both Bigfoot sightings and UFO sightings and a lot of these cryptid creature sightings occur in close proximity to energy sources, such as high-tension power transmission towers, high-tension power lines, power plants, gas wells, gas lines, railroad tracks, water reservoirs, things like that. It's something that shows up very, very commonly. And this sighting Monday occurred only about a mile and a half from the Homer City Power Station, which has a lot of history of UFO events. In fact, from the time they built that big power station in the late 1960s, when they were building it, they had a massive UFO wave going up there for weeks. And that's right at the University of Indiana, Pennsylvania. And in fact, when all the sightings were going on, a professor formed a UFO group up there to investigate all those sightings. Well, sightings continue all the time. Last year, I had several reports of UFOs hovering and operating in the vicinity of the power station. But this big bird sighting was interesting because the witness has an extensive background of being a fisherman and a hunter, and he, in fact, is very much into bird watching. He's been watching birds and studying birds like 29 and 30 years, and he said he's never seen anything like this before. He's very familiar with all the big birds of Pennsylvania, like blue herons and eagles, and he was just stumped by what he saw on Monday afternoon in daylight. And he said he spent 2 days just going back to his bird books and studying all those different reports to try to come up with something before he reported it. But he said he has never seen anything like this before. He was riding down the road, the country road up in Indiana County, when he sees this, what he thought was a small aircraft, until it began to flap its wings. And he said it's this huge, gigantic, dark brown bird. It flew steadily with the wing beats, about one beat every 2 seconds. He said what stood out was this incredible wingspan and what appeared to be a broad semicircular tail or rump section. He said it was similar, and the wing beat motion was like that of an egret or an heron or a crane, however, a much, much larger wingspan. Now, he told me, he said he would estimate the wingspan to be at least 12 feet or greater. When I talked to him when I first got further information, he said he thought it was probably 12 to 14 foot in width. He watched this thing for, I believe it was about, I'd have to look it up again, report, I think about 20 seconds. But it was long enough for him to realize this was unlike anything he had ever seen in all the years he had been bird watching, and he's just scratching his head trying to figure this thing out. So it's very interesting what he saw back in, I believe it was March of this year, near Jeanette, Pennsylvania, which is closer to me. A man that evening happened to look up in the sky, it was a cloudy sky as I recall, and he saw what he thought was a Piper Cub. So the people around Jeanette, we have small landing strips out there, and we have the Arnold Palmer Airport, and we have Greater Pittsburgh and Allegheny County. So people around this area, they're really familiar with seeing Piper Cub single-engine aircraft coming in regularly every day. So they got a pretty good idea of their size and altitude. So he looks up, and he sees this dark, what he thought at first was like a Piper Cub. But he realizes this thing is moving faster than a Piper Cub, smoother, and all of a sudden he notices that the wings are curved up at the tips. And he really realizes this thing is a huge bird. And he runs aside to get his binoculars, and he comes out, and it's going out in the distance. But he said he would estimate, having seen many Piper Cubs at altitude and how big this thing was, it'd have to have a wingspan about 15 foot in width. So that's just a couple of things that have been reported pretty recently.
So anyone who thinks weird things, weird events are not happening, well, one that just happened a few days ago clearly indicates it's still going on, still lots of strange things happening. And I want to ask Stan Gordon in our next segment, is there something about Pennsylvania that seems to attract an unusual number of strange events, or are just more people looking for them? We'll find out. On the Paracast, Chris O'Brien is off this week. He's on special assignment. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Stan Gordon, Pennsylvania UFO and paranormal investigator. He looks into just UFOs and Bigfoot and Thunderbirds and stuff like that. Okay, so when we look at your UFO and paranormal research over the years and we look at the case histories you have at your site, we see a lot of things going on year after year. Is there something about these regions of Pennsylvania that attracts more than the unusual number of events?
Well, you know, my feeling is that these events are probably going on all over the country in many parts of the world, but people don't know where to report it to, where they're hesitant to report it. Historically here in Pennsylvania, we know that there's a lot of history going back to the Native Americans. There's newspaper accounts going back to the 1800s that talk about these events happening. So these things have been going on for a long time. And also you got to remember now that it was back in 1969 that I set up my hotline for the public. And I began to make contact as a young guy involved in these things with the local police and the news media, make them aware about this hotline I was setting up. As word got out about it, my phone was ringing off the hook here, and it was not just on UFOs. It was on people calling about everything from haunted houses to strange creatures to UFOs. Well, I was overwhelmed, and I knew I couldn't handle this on my own. So my goal was to set up a volunteer group of research people who could respond quickly to these type of reports. So that was what I did in 1970. I found the first of three research groups that were active from 1970 to end of 1993. And I've been working as independent researcher ever since. But the first group was the Westmoreland County UFO Study Group. It started here east of Pittsburgh. We spread our activity in the Pittsburgh area. It was kind of unique in that most of the people involved were specialists of some type. We had scientists, engineers, technicians. We had scientists and research people in Pittsburgh, from the Gulf Research, from Westinghouse, from Alcoa, from colleges and universities. And you remember Dr. Hynek, years and years ago, he would talk about the invisible college. Well, that's what we're dealing with, because so many of these very credible researchers work with me anonymously because they're physicians and because they're ridiculed with the subjects. And many of them came in skeptical, to say the least. But after spending years, many of them years with me out in the field doing investigations, seeing the patterns that came up, interviewing the witnesses, seeing the emotion, seeing the evidence in the field, so many of them began to realize that there were things out there we didn't have explanations for. In 1970, it starts in the Pittsburgh area, but by 1973, we took over the state of Pennsylvania. And we're getting reports from throughout the state, and we are covering it pretty well. And by that time, to our kind of amazement, we were getting referrals from the state police, from police agencies, from the news media across the state, who were referring cases to us to investigate. So we were very, very busy. And then we came into 1973, when we had the biggest UFO and Bigfoot outbreak in history that happened here in Pennsylvania. And you, I'm sure you remember this, in the fall of 73, the United States had that massive UFO outbreak that was making a lot of the evening news in the national newspapers. But in Pennsylvania, it started January 1st and continued to the end of the year. We had hundreds and hundreds of UFO cases going on. And a lot of these were not lights in the sky. A lot of these were large structured craft, pacing cars, hovering over roadways, landing reports, just amazing reports coming in. So we were just busy as heck, just following up on all the UFO cases. But then the summer of 73 comes around, and that's when things got very, very amazing. That's when we began with this massive outbreak of Bigfoot activity here in southwest Pennsylvania to spread to many other parts of the state. It continued into 1974. It was unprecedented, and our teams were out there day and night. We're doing this around our jobs, but we were covering these cases pretty well. So in many cases, we were on the scene within minutes, hours after they occurred. And that's why we could document it so quickly. And that's when we came up with some very, very bizarre but interesting information concerning UFOs and Bigfoot.
Bizarre in what respect? What kind of information about UFOs and Bigfoot are you talking about?
Okay, well, you know, when I started this long time ago, when I was a youngster and I was interested in Bigfoot reports, and I began to investigate some Bigfoot sightings from Pennsylvania in the late 1960s, well, I always was open-minded to the possibility that if Bigfoot was real, and after having talked to some witnesses around that time, I believed that they saw something out there they couldn't explain away, and I couldn't explain. And I thought that probably, as many researchers believe, that it was some type of unknown zoological specimen, some type of primate, or something along that line. But as these events are unfolding in 1973, and a lot of these people, you got to remember, back in those days, you didn't have the internet. There wasn't TV, a lot of TV shows about UFOs and Bigfoot. Well, people back then were very frightened about the encounters they were having. So many of them would initially call the police, and then I would get the reports and we would follow up on them. So as these reports continuing, and we're getting all these Bigfoot sightings, and many of them were close range. I mean, very close range. Some people were 15 to 20 feet away from, some less, when these things were walking down in front of cars, and many in daylight. And in some cases, more than one creature seen together. So we had very, very detailed information. And our teams, again, were out there gathering information, interviewing eyewitnesses. So as the reports continued to come in from widespread areas, some strange things began to come to our attention. For example, in some cases, our investigators would get out to some of the locations. We would find trails of footprints that would just suddenly stop and disappear. But there should have been more tracks with the ground conditions. We had other cases of people, and we did never recommend people shooting at these creatures, but there were numerous cases where people did shoot at them with various type of weapons. Nobody ever brought one down. And you may recall we had one very, very interesting case. It was the case that convinced me that we may be dealing with a phenomenon with Bigfoot, at least in some cases, where we're dealing with something that may not be a normal flesh and blood animal. Because in that case, the woman fired at the creature with a shotgun at close range, and it disappeared in a flash of light. And then we had a number of very well-documented cases where UFOs and Bigfoot were seen together at the same time and place. So we can go into detail on some of those cases if you like.
Well, all right. So the key here is that you feel there's a connection because they're seen at the same time and place. That, therefore, what are you suggesting? That Bigfoot comes out of a UFO and runs around? What?
Well, not at all. Because, you know, first of all, we've got to look at the unexplained category of UFOs. And I think we've got to be honest and say we don't know for sure what that unexplained category of UFOs really is. I mean, theoretically, a lot of people believe these things are extraterrestrial. And I think maybe a small percentage of these things might be extraterrestrial. Some of these things could be unknown natural phenomena. I don't have the answers. I can only tell you what data we're finding. But also, more and more information of cases I've seen over the years and talked to other researchers around the country and around the world, having contact with Bigfoot researchers, UFO researchers, more and more, especially with some of the Bigfoot cases and even UFO cases I'm looking into, they seem to suggest we're dealing with a phenomena that somehow is energy related. It has a physical and a non-physical component to it. So it can be physically solid, leave behind physical evidence, and then it's gone. For example, we've had UFO cases, and some in daylight, where people see what appear to be a solid physical craft that physically changed form, or they suddenly appear and disappear. I've had other cases where I've had a group of people, and only a few people within that group could see the object, where the other people couldn't see it. So could it be that certain people have certain abilities that are able to perceive certain phenomena and others can't, or the phenomena is attracted to them? So getting back to your question, you know, do I think that Bigfoot is, for example, riding in a UFO? I've seen no evidence for that. We don't know. And again, a lot of people are associating UFOs as being extraterrestrial. Maybe they are. Maybe certain ones are. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what we're dealing with here. We just don't have the answers. But there could be that the UFO is interested in the Bigfoot or vice versa. We just don't know why this is going on.
All right, but let's get back to the other question I have, and you can answer it in our next segment. And that is about so-called window areas. I gather from what you say that if enough people are looking for things around a particular region, they will find more instances of UFO sightings, Bigfoot, Thunderbirds, whatever. It's not a specific area that attracts more. You can answer on the other side. Stan Gordon joins Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to My Patriot Supply.
GoldStandard.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
On the Paracast with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, and Chris is off this week on special assignment. He's in a location where there is no internet connection and no connection that's reliable to a cell phone. Stan Gordon, Pennsylvania, paranormal investigator, joining us. So I'm going to come back to a question that we kind of got sidetracked with. Do you believe there are specific areas, specific regions, Pennsylvania, anywhere, that attract more than their share of strange events?
Yes, and I think I may have mentioned the one area, and it's 100 miles long, so I can't give a specific area, even though I'll mention them to you in a minute. That area along the Chestnut Ridge, it has a much higher than normal area of activity year after year along that ridge in those three counties, West Warrenfield and Indiana County, where a lot of people report strange activity. One area along the ridge in West Warren County is outside of Lake Trobe. It's the area around Derry Township, and there's been a lot of sightings almost year after year. We hear a Bigfoot activity. We had a Thunderbird sighting there last year in May in daylight. We've had a lot of UFO activity, other strange occurrences. There's a lot of activity right around that area. Why, we have no idea. I mean, we looked into the geology of the ridge. We looked at different aspects of what's around there, and we've never been able to find anything in particular or what might be the reason for this. And also, at times, you get this periodic outbreak of other cryptid creatures. For example, back in the 80s in the northern part of Westmoreland County, we were getting reports of Bigfoot sightings going on in this rural area. Various people were seeing it. And about the same time, we began to have an outbreak of Black Panther sightings in the same area. So sometimes something like that occurs. So if you go back in the history, you look in the Carolinas, we had the outbreak of the Lizard Man. You had the Mothman outbreak of the late 60s in West Virginia, which isn't that far from where I'm at. And I found out many, many years later that about the same time that the Mothman was being seen down in West Virginia, there were a couple incidents of that same thing or something similar being seen in the Pittsburgh area, but they were never made public. They were kept quiet. So at times, you have these outbreaks of certain areas where these things occur. And on one, just the top of my head, you're aware of Ted Phillips, who was working very close with Dr. Hynek for years and years on physical trace cases of UFOs. I guess several years ago, he got involved in an investigation, which I believe was out in, I think it was Illinois, but I'm not positive, but he called it Marley Woods.
Right.
Okay.
I think that's Missouri, although
and I, meant to say
I don't
Missouri,
recall the exact location.
Was Missouri. And so he got involved in this area where all kind of paranormal phenomena is going on, from UFO sightings, Thunderbird reports, Bigfoot events, the same kind of thing that I was finding years ago. These things we hear about in certain areas. You've got the Skinwalker Ranch, for example. A lot of people heard about that. There are other areas of the country that I've heard of from other research where these things are going on. One thing I found years ago, many people in the UFO field don't want to have any association with Bigfoot, and many in the Bigfoot community don't want to connect Bigfoot and UFOs. My position is, as a researcher, these are the cases we're uncovering and documenting. We're not. I'm not out looking for these cases. I never expected to have these events turn up, but I'm not going to dismiss them and say they're not happening. It's important to study these cases, to try to find out more details, to share this information, and hopefully more and more investigators and witnesses will come forward so more people can study it. And I have seen in more recent years, and I know there's been a lot of response to my Silent Invasion book, which focuses on these cases, that I've had a very positive response from throughout the country and out of the country, and many more people in the Bigfoot field seem to be becoming more and more open-minded to the fact that there may be more to the Bigfoot phenomenon than we understand. Because the question I've asked for years and years is, it doesn't make any sense. After so many Bigfoot sightings for how many years throughout the country and throughout the world of something similar, and yet by now we still have very little physical evidence and no body. Something just doesn't make sense here. No matter how rare an animal is, we have skeletal remains. I mean, I've never come across a bear carcass out in the woods, but the zoos around here are full of them. So there just seems to be something else going on here, and with some of the weird cases we documented, it suggests that we may be dealing with something that might be, for a better term, interdimensional.
Okay, I have a question from one of our listeners that might be appropriate right now. The listener's name is Techno Magit, not Magnet, Magit. And question number one is, I live in New Jersey. Are there any hot spots in New Jersey? And have you had any cases in New Jersey? That's kind of out of your coverage area, isn't it?
That's correct. Yeah, I've heard stories from New York and New Jersey. I deal mainly in Pennsylvania because I'm just overwhelmed. Pennsylvania alone, it never ends. And so I deal with that. I do talk to researchers throughout the country. I've heard of a number of different events. You know, of course, the Jersey Devil historically has always had a lot of interest. But I've heard of Bigfoot encounters up there and giant bird sightings and other entities. So I think it goes on almost everywhere, but I cannot give you any particular area.
So there's nothing you could measure about these areas that seems to say why they attract more of these events, nothing that you could determine except that they do.
Well, myself and other researchers here years and years ago, I mean, as we're getting a lot of this activity, we did study the geology. I mean, there's a non-active earthquake fault going through the Chestnut Ridge, but I don't see any connection with that. And it's just nothing has turned up except the one thing we keep finding is that there's a lot of power sources quite often in the areas where these events occur.
All right. Power sources. So they hang out at power stations, nuclear or just regular?
I've got them at various types, non-nuclear most of the time. But, again, a lot of the sightings occur along high-tension power lines. You know, one case that's very interesting, people used to bring up to me years and years ago, and they used to say, well, how come people never see UFOs over populated areas? And I can tell you, that has changed so dramatically over the last 20, 30 years. I mean, we have multitudes of sightings here in Pennsylvania alone and in other states. But here in Pennsylvania, we've had sightings over in downtown Pittsburgh. We had a big cigar-shaped object that hovered at a suburb of Pittsburgh near Squirrel Hill a number of years ago. We had a very interesting detailed UFO incident where a very large saucer-shaped object with windows and symbols hovered over a house 2 years ago in the Bloomfield area of Pittsburgh. And that was just a few hours after we had a car chase down in eastern Pennsylvania. It was reported.
Let's go back to the car chase for a moment. I just think of the Dale Spar case back in the 60s where two police officers chased a UFO from Ohio to Pennsylvania. Yes. So what kind of car chase are we talking about here?
Well, the one you talk about, as I recall, is April 17th, 1966. And that car chase came in to outside of the Pittsburgh area. So it was interesting. And I have had numerous car chases. This event, I'm going from memory here, I don't have the report right in front of me, but this was in April, I believe it was 2 years ago. I think, anyhow, this was down outside of Lancaster. And a husband and wife were in a car, and they noticed this spherical object hovering in the distance over a field. And they began to move close to this thing because it looked so strange and unusual. And this thing's hovering. And I, as I recall, she went to take a picture of it, and her camera flashed. And when it did, this thing began to follow their vehicle down the road. And it followed for quite a distance in this rural area. And it ended up getting, I believe, about 20 feet from the car overhead. It was about as long as a school bus. And the guy went at a high rate of speed to try to get away from this thing, and finally it left the area. And it was not that long afterwards. And again, I have to look at the report. I can't remember. 2-3 hours later, we had this report in the suburb of Pittsburgh of this very large structured craft. Very, very detailed report. And this thing, the guy was coming home from a friend's house, a neighbor's. He was watching TV there, and he happened, as I recall, he happened to trip on a tree trunk, and he looked up, and here's this thing about 40 feet over, hovering over the top of his house. And he couldn't believe what he's seeing. And this wasn't a light. I mean, this was a large structured craft. And it had, I believe, a number of windows in it. It had some, like, triangular, hieroglyphic-like symbols on it. And he ran into the house to get his father to come out, and as this thing accelerated to the sky, I believe it was like some type of, it was a spirally, cloudy-like vortex that kind of opened up, and this thing went up into that and disappeared. And interestingly, within that 24-hour period, I was getting other reports from around the state of people describing a similar type of, like, a vortex thing was being seen. So that 24 hours, in fact, I know if you go onto my website and you go back through sighting reports and UFOs, you'll find a detailed report on that case.
We have Stan Gordon, and he's telling us now about recent UFO sightings. So those of you who have heard that UFO cases aren't happening like they used to, well, that's not the case. With Gene and Chris, you're in the PowerCast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Do you ever feel like you live in an alternate universe? As the stock market hits new highs, the middle class are dying. Manipulated financial markets and economic figures, chaos on our border, China and Russia bypassing the dollar. Life is getting ready to change. You need to prepare to thrive in the new economy. Go to babyboomerbackupplan.com or call 888-507-8789. That's 888-507-8789.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is big!
not just big, it's the Freeze-Dry Guy's giant factory authorized sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze-Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the giant factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze-Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.